Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. You know, hour one kind of got a little off track. We didn't expect to spend that much time sharing some of the wacky plans that we have in store for the DEMA show. So we're going to try to get back on track this hour. I promise it won't necessarily deliver, but that's just how we roll here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. However, I do have some big guns I'm going to refer to and help us out right now. Tom Ingram from the DEMA organization, the Big Cheese, Big Kahuna, Executive Director, take your pick. He'll answer to all, but he knows what's really going on with the DEMA show this year, and he is on via the phone on Scuba Radio as we speak. Tom, welcome. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Greg. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to a great event right here in our backyard of Orlando. DEMA's getting ready to kick off. I got to tell you, Tom, I have a feeling I know the answer from you because you got to hold the company line. But I got to tell you, I have been hearing a lot of things behind the scenes from our sponsors, our vendors. I mean, there seems to be quite a high level of energy going into the show this year. I don't know if that's because of the economy or, you know, maybe things are starting to look a little better as we move into the new year. I don't know. Are you getting that too, or is that just me and my own little bubble? What do you think?
No, I think you're absolutely right. We have a lot of excitement going on. In fact, this year we booked a greater number of hotels there in the Orlando area for the show than we have in previous years, and we filled them up. They're actually gone. So all of the hotel rooms are gone. If you're still planning to come to the show and you haven't booked your hotel room, you're going to have to look around the city somewhere else, somewhere near the convention center, but the DEMA block hotels are all booked up. So you're absolutely right. We are really excited about having the show there again back in my home area. Of course, I think you know I'm from Florida originally.
Yeah.
And it's another exciting show. So
absolutely. Yeah, and as far as the logistics, you know, the DEMA show last few years has been bouncing back between Orlando and Las Vegas, and I'm sure, you know, there might be some truth to this, but I get these anecdotal response from some of the folks that believe that when it's in Orlando, you get more of a Caribbean influence as opposed to when it's in Vegas, you get more of Pacific. I mean, you still get both from, you know, both the places and destinations, but because of the logistics, purely, you know, left coast, east coast kind of thing, I guess, you have a little bit more heavy Caribbean influx here, you think, or what?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, too. It's amazing how close the numbers are from one year to the next in terms of attendance. It never really varies by more than a few hundred, and when there's about 10,000 people that come to the show, but we do get a greater number of folks coming from not only the Caribbean, but we also get a greater number coming from Europe when we're in Florida. And when we're over in Las Vegas, we get a greater number of folks from the west coast of the U.S., but we also get a greater Asian influence. So it's a great mix for us. We've been able to kind of go back and forth here for the last few years. And one of the things that I did want to bring up is that at the show this year, during the membership meeting, we're going to have some new announcements about some additional cities that will be on our agenda coming up for the show rotation. So it looks like we're going to put a third city in. Not going to reveal it here, but we will certainly reveal it at the show itself. So stay tuned for that.
All right. All you'll reveal here that it's not Orlando or not Las Vegas. There's a third one on the docket. And we'll find out at the DEMA show if you go to the membership meeting, which is when?
That is Thursday morning at 8:30.
Okay. All right. So we'll see if we can't work that into our schedule, and then we'll go do our little opening ceremony type of thing there when the show opens each morning at 10 a.m. I'm really excited about it. Now, what about some of the other things? Obviously, that's one element, but what else is on the agenda this year that might be new or different or just something people might want to take note of for the show this year in Orlando there, Tom?
Well, lots of fun stuff going on. Before we get into all of that, I did want to say a big shout-out to the folks in Mexico, who are dealing with Hurricane Patricia, and we're happy to report that when it made landfall yesterday, it didn't hit quite as a Category 5, and it kind of petered itself out, which is great. And it, you know, went right across the town of Tequila, by the way, and I understand the agave plants were left intact.
Thank God.
There'll be plenty of tequila.
Yeah. Well, and that's important for the DEMA show.
Those are good. That's right.
Yes,
that's exactly right. So lots of fun stuff going on at the show itself. One of the things that's there this year is you may not be aware that this year is DEMA, the association's 40th birthday, and next year is the 40th anniversary of DEMA show. And so starting with this year, what we're going to do is we're going to ask the folks that are attending the show to come over to either the Hall of Fame booth or the DEMA Association booth and tell us your story. And we're going to actually video those stories and archive them. So it's a chance for people to record their oral history, how they got started in diving, how they got into the diving business, who their heroes are. And we'll actually post those and run them during the show. So that should be fun.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I've actually got some folks that are going to go out on the show floor and drag people in and make them do their video oral history. So
very
that should
nice.
Be fun.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah, and that includes you. You need to get over there, too.
I document that every week on this goofy little show. They know too much about me already. You hear what I'm saying? People wish they could, shut us down. But I digress. That's a whole other thing. We'll we'll work on other things. But, yeah, I know we get the Reaching Out Awards on Friday night at the Hard Rock. And am I right? Is it a Mardi Gras theme? That's what we're going for this year, right? So there's, some band or whatever?
Yep, that's exactly right. Big Mardi Gras theme. And Dr. Richard Vann, who has worked so hard to improve diver safety and has worked for a long time through Divers Alert Network and some other operational stuff, along with Jim Gattaker, who is the founder of the Handicapped Scuba Association. Both of those folks are being honored with the Reaching Out Award, so that should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mardi Gras themed party, so dress appropriately.
Or don't dress at all?
In addition to that, we've got some fun stuff. And Greg, you're already dressed that way, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I got my hand full of beads. That's all I need. So I plan to have a lot of fun that night.
All right, that's perfect. Just keep your shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned the membership meeting earlier and that we would do some announcements there. But one of the things we're doing a little bit differently this year is we're going to recognize the volunteers who have helped us throughout this year with all of the various committees and all the projects that have been going on. So, again, that's Thursday morning. But we've had more than 50 volunteers that have helped us on all of the various projects that DEMA does. And that includes such things as working with some of the legislative activities that are going on out there, as well as research. And in addition to that, one of the things that's really exciting and that the volunteers have worked on is a brand new consumer marketing initiative that will be part of what we do starting in 2016. There's a big meeting on Saturday morning at 8:30, which is unfortunately right after the Mardi Gras party, but that's the way that goes. And we will be talking about that and asking for folks to give us their input on that consumer marketing initiative, because we're not quite ready yet, and we want to make sure that the industry is taking part in all of that, and they'll be able to help us and advise us on the direction that we need to go to make this thing work for everybody and to help grow the industry. So very, very excited about that one.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And then one more object that's going on, one more situation that's going to happen is on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, we've got a keynote speaker that's going to come in and talk. His name is Chuck Martin, and he's talking about tapping into today's mobile consumer. We know that so many people are, when they shop, they are using their mobile devices, and it's a great thing for them. The retailers want to know how to make that work for them as well. So that's what that keynote address is all about. So
excellent. Good stuff from Tom Ingram there from DEMA. DEMA.org is a website to go to, DEMAshow.com. Either one will get you to the right place where you can get everything you need to know about the show. Make sure you participate and get there early. We're there to open up the show. It starts at 10 a.m., but be there by 9:30 at the latest, because we got a ton of stuff to give away to everybody as they enter the show and we warm up the crowd. So there you go. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Gonna get down, gonna get down. 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 Gonna get down, gonna get down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to getting down. I am Greg the Dive Master. DEMA coming up, as we've been talking about quite a bit today. And I got to give some props to Divers Direct, who are based here in Florida, because they have underwritten a giveaway for us at the DEMA show as well of the new novella from Eric Douglas called Lionfish. So, like the folks on the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, who a couple weeks ago got the first batch of hard copy, their own hard copy of Lionfish, which is the new novella that Eric wrote that incorporates a Scuba Radio crew in the story, we're going to give away like 20 books a day there at the DEMA show each morning. So make sure you come on out, meet Eric, meet the staff. We can sign them if you like, but they're kind of cool. And actually, I hooked up Michael,
here from the Blue Dolphin Dive Club with his own copy to give as part of the Roadkill Roast, one of the prizes.
It's going out there.
It could be a booby prize. I don't know. It depends on if you read it and you like it,
I guess.
Right?
Absolutely.
But it's cool because if you read the first few pages, I come off like a real ass. So it's very realistic, Michael. You hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this may be a reoccurring donation. We never know.
Well, it depends. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, you could read it and then pass it along. Like, here, you take it. I don't know. One of those things. I also gave him, if that weren't enough, I gave him a Sharknado 3 poster. So, you know, and those are very rare
collector's items.
Well, I was going to say they're very rare. Okay. And that's, I was going to just stop. I don't know if they're collector items necessarily. But I gave him a few little, you know, Scuba Radio Chotsky things, some Nanook cases. And we'll have some of those at the DEMA show as well. But I hooked up the folks for the Roadkill Roast and the Blue Dolphin Dive Club because their benefit, you know, their Roadkill Roast will benefit Divers Alert Network, and we support their work. So it's a good thing. All right. So, guy, you know, we have Jerry the Diver Guy. We have Pete from Scuba Board on via the web with us, as well as Michael from the Blue Dolphin Dive Club. Now, here's something that happened this week. Now, Pete knows about this. The other guys don't. And I'm going to throw it out there because I want to kind of dive into this, you know, this general.
Dive.
Yeah, I get it. Of course you do. Yeah, it makes sense. I got taken to task this week online by somebody who, well, he accused me of working for someone else. And honestly, I don't. No one would
hire
me.
You're such a liar, Greg.
Yes, exactly.
You're such a liar.
Yeah. He was mad at me. He felt my opinion was misled. and that's all I shared online. And it basically, there was about sunscreen. There was some study that came out in some of the newspapers this week about a chemical that is in certain brands of sunscreen, or actually in the majority of brands of sunscreen, that some
unobtainium?
Yeah, one of those, exactly. But they're claiming that this, so, you know, people should stop using this sunscreen because it's killing the reef. And, you know, Reef Safe is a one of our friends here at Scuba Radio. They do sponsor the show. And we're going to delve into this more specifically next week because I'll have Dan on to talk about this. But I got to tell you, this study that's come out in some of these articles I saw this week, I'm not buying it. I mean, you know, to blame the ingredient on killing the reef when there are so many other problems we have, it seems a little off base to me. And all I can tell you is I have done research on this, and that's basically what I said online. I looked into it. I delved into it quite a bit. I've actually been aware of this for some time. And this study and this publication just came out this week. And I got to tell you, it doesn't add up to me as far as you know, sunscreen. And I got to tell you, wearing sunscreen versus not wearing sunscreen is not an option for yours truly, because I have been under the knife so many times from my dermatologist. I put his kids through college. You hear what I'm saying? I have to wear sunscreen. And, you know, is a better alternative covering up and wearing clothes and shirts and hats? And of course, but you can't do that all the time. You still got to cover your face and your nose and your ears and things like that. And as divers, we're out in the sun quite a bit. That's part of the MO of what we love to do. And I'm not about to give that up just because, you know, the sun is making it tough on me. And Michael, you're fairly fair-skinned like me, right? Do you
Absolutely.
Have that issue? You got to wear sunscreen, don't you?
Yeah, but you try to use one, you know, like our friends from that have
like
a new
Reef
product,
Safe.
Like GreenSafe.
Reef Safe,
and
yeah.
Reef Safe, and you don't want to go ahead and be accused of a, you know, reef killer. This is a deep subject, Greg.
Yeah, of course.
And but the thing of it is I would love to see how they did this study where they came up with six parts per, I think it was like 6 billion.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That they considered to be dangerous to the reef.
Yeah.
And
I got to tell you, I mean, it sounds like you've read up on it a little bit, or at least you're aware of it. And when you look at it from the perspective of, you know, the bigger picture of there are so many things that are contributing to the reef degradation, whether it's, you know, global warming, pollution. You know, there's even studies that show just having people in the ocean, and if they urinate in the ocean, that is bad for the reef. And so, God help us. You hear what I'm saying? You know, I mean, there's so many factors. And to jump on the sunscreen thing, yeah, I know they meant well with what these guys had put out there as far as, like, they want to do whatever they can to protect the reef, and so do we.
I disagree with you on that, Greg.
Well, what would their motivation be to throw sunscreen under the bus? What, to tell people?
Filthy lucre.
What?
I mean, obviously they're going to come out with something that's going to be safe, or they say is safe, and they're going to, you know, make more money by, you know, making everybody afraid. It's horrible.
Well, I would agree. Fear-mongering with sunscreen is a bit over the top.
If anyone knows about how corals are affected by the environment, I think it would be the coral restoration people here in Florida.
Sure.
And I know for a fact that they've actually tested the SeaSave product.
Well, ReefSafe
in their nursery,
yeah,
with
ReefSafe.
Absolutely no problems.
Yeah, well, and so has ReefSafe. I mean, that's the thing. And like I said, we'll get into this with Dan from ReefSafe Tropical Seas next week on the show. But I got to tell you, he's taking a hit right now. He's taking a lot of heat from people that are concerned about reading these articles and across the papers in the U.S. this week. And he's having to defend himself and ReefSafe's claims that they're safe for the reef. And they are. They've done plenty of research. And the thing is, ReefSafe, in particular, they've been around for years. This isn't like a new thing for them. They've followed this research from day one, and this stuff, you know, that came out this week literally is like 3 years old, or 2 or 3 years old at least. So just something got stirred up in some new paper or version of it got released this week. So this isn't new news, but it's unfortunate that you know, ReefSafe's taking some heat for it or having to defend themselves when they've been doing great work. And that's what somebody got mad at me about, because I stood up for them. That's just what you do, right?
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And Jerry the Diver Guy and Pete from Scuba Board are with me. Michael had to leave from the Blue Dolphin Dive Club. He had had enough of me. Can you blame him? Of course not. But you know, talking about this stuff with when stories come out about what affects the reef, I mean, we want to protect what we see as divers. And I think we definitely have an environmental slant, just because when we get into the diving thing and you start to see all the stuff down there, you see how some of it's getting hurt, and you know, the folks on the surface have no idea what's down there, and obviously we see some of the negative effects of that with pollution and that kind of thing. But when you see, you know, stories come out about sunscreen and that might be a big thing, and then you see, you know, like a company like ReefSafe have to defend themselves because of, you know, some study that is based on one particular chemical that is so minute that they use. It's frustrating. And that's all I shared online. And some guy was taking me to task and claimed I worked for them and blah, 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 blah. And I don't. I just was like kind of frustrated to hear or see some of the nonsense that was being spewed online and shared my opinion about it. So, I don't know, that has a tendency to happen too much in our diving world. And you know, both,
It's not just diving, Greg, it's everywhere.
So it's just a way of fear-mongering, that's just how it goes. We just got to accept it? Is that what you're trying to say, Pete?
Well, I'm not saying that we accept it, but FUD, fear, uncertainty, doubt, and all those things are been a political force for eons and will continue to be. And it's also a force that companies use to try and sell their stuff.
Okay.
Oh, if you take this, you're going to die of cancer. Don't take that.
So just like scuba, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, FUD, is the official acronym for fear mongering under what?
Fear, uncertainty, doubt, deceit, and something, a distortion.
Okay. Yeah, I can't spell
it's
either.
It's F-U-D-D-D. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with that. Why not? Sounds good to me. More coming up.
Don't be a fuddy dud.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Hi, this is Joe, a dive instructor on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I'm known for spicing up the briefings by dressing up, and apparently this guy has dubbed me the Lady Gaga of the Seven Seas. Honestly, I think he's a little jealous. Greg the Dive Master, take it away, fancy boy.
I think that's a compliment in the UK, fancy boy. Am I right there, Jerry? You would know that in the mountains of Virginia, wouldn't you?
You'll have to ask Roz.
Roz would know. Yeah, well, she said it was a compliment. That's what I remember. But I might have been drinking spring water at the time.
Afterwards?
Did she what?
Snicker afterwards.
No, I don't, you know. I don't want to bring up her Snickers on the air. Those are socks, right? On the, I don't know. Anyway.
That's Snickers, not
yeah,
Snickers.
Well, I'll, whatever. All right. So a couple other things that have crossed our radar here that I want to kind of bounce off of you guys today and see how people respond. And by the way, you can dial us up 888-88-SCUBA or press the Get on the Air tab at the homepage at scubaradio.com if you ever would like to comment yourself. But here's a story I found. Actually, I read this a couple weeks ago in Undercurrent. All right. And, you know, I a lot of the stuff that shows up in there, you know, kind of irks me sometimes. And because, you know, all this stuff, especially when it comes into opinion pieces, you got to remember they are opinion pieces, despite how they're presented sometimes. And, you know, these are people that are putting these, eyes out, you know, these thoughts or these stories out, and everybody has a right to their opinion, and I totally respect all of it. I just sometimes I get, you know, when certain articles are published, it kind of gets slanted, like I don't know, maybe it gets more credibility because it's in print. Does that make any sense to you, Pete? You hear what I'm saying? I mean, no one ever listens to me. I'm in one ear out the other. Yeah, exactly. But when it shows up in print, you know, a lot of people give it more credence, I have a feeling. I don't know. I just get that vibe.
I disagree with you on that again.
No?
I mean, I make my living off of people posting stuff all the time, and, you know, they disagree all the time, and everyone wants to have the last word in. They want to be the loudest or whatever, and the people reading afterwards aren't looking to see who's the most belligerent. They want to see who's the most intelligent, who makes the most logical conclusions and uses the most amount of facts.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, a FUD, right? Something that goes back to the FUD.
And most of them stay away from FUD. They're not victims of FUD. And really, that's what the internet has done. It's given a level playing field for not only the FUDders, the fuddy-duddies,
yeah,
okay, but also the people who are reasonable. If you're reasonable on the internet, people are more likely to believe what you say. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Right. Okay, well, here's a headline. It says, Barracuda Slaughter at Macaulay Memorial. And I believe this is in Palm Beach, if I remember correctly. But it basically, the story is about a guy who went diving there, and he was on this wreck with some other divers, and he got there, and there's some spearfishers on the wreck, and you know the headline, Barracuda Slaughter. Now these guys are spearfishing in Palm Beach. Now I'm personally not a big fan of that. Okay, I'm not.
I am. I love it.
Well, I mean, I'm saying personally, it's just not my thing. I don't have any problem with people spearfishing, hunting for lobster or whatever. I love doing that. But I mean, if you're doing it and you're following the rules, you're doing it legal. I don't know that there's I have a real problem with it. And he got really angry, you know, that was the tone from the article, that they went down on this dive, and these guys were had been shooting barracuda, and he thought that wasn't appropriate for a site that divers frequent. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I mean, if they're doing it legally, if they're breaking any rules or laws, or, you know, he made a reference to one of them using a scooter, underwater scooter, and said that was an unfair advantage for spearing fish, which I'm not sure how that works exactly. I don't know if I've ever seen a spear fisherman using a scooter and shooting fish.
Oh, I have.
Have you done? They can do this.
See, oh, hell yeah.
Well, how do they do that?
That's a good way to do it. You cruise near the top of the surface,
yeah,
you know, in 10, 15 feet, so you can see the whole bottom, but you're not spooking the fish. Then you see your prize, your trophy, and you zoop right in there, set up the shot, and kill them.
Okay, so you swing down with the scooter, but doesn't the scooter scare the fish away? Wouldn't it?
It depends on how you do it, Greg. I mean, there's all sorts of things. If you're coming in fast enough, it doesn't. You know, you can do this.
Okay. All right.
Well, but I think the point that you're making is a valid one. You know, it's a big ocean.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a wreck and people are shooting fish and you don't like to see people shooting fish, go find another wreck. Don't expect them to move. You move.
Yeah. Well, and they were kind of upset. I mean, the spearfishers were upset that the people had come out, and then they started taking pictures of them like, hey, you're doing something you shouldn't do. And they, you know, it sounds like there might have been a little bit of an altercation or something. I don't know. But I was thinking, I was like, wait a minute. I don't think barracuda are threatened. I know there's like limits, I believe, in Florida that you can only spear so many, you know, barracuda or whatever like that. But I don't know if there's any laws against spearing barracuda if you use a scooter or not. I don't know. But like
scooters,
you said,
are not mentioned in any FWSC laws that I know of.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I just, like you said, you could go somewhere else. But I didn't really understand the noise that they were making about that, you know? I mean, am I alone here? Jerry, would you have a problem with that? Or would you not be a fan of seeing folks? I'll tell you this much. Now, if I'm on a dive boat and, you know, say you have a group of 10 or let's say there's 20 people on the dive boat, and you find out there's like two or three people on the boat that are going to spear fish, I am going to make sure that those guys are not going to be dropped with the same group as us. You hear what I'm saying? And usually, I've never had that happen where the dive charter didn't separate the group regardless. But I wouldn't want to be diving with them. If you're not diving or spearfishing, I mean, the same thing for them. They don't want more people around because that scares the fish away if they're trying to catch fish. Am I right, Pete?
Yeah, and you know, barracudas are becoming a fish of interest for FWC, the Florida Wildlife Commission.
Why is that?
Because they're disappearing. We don't see the great fleets of barracudas around the wrecks that we once saw.
Yeah.
And barracudas become a very, you know, it's a great tasting fish.
Oh, I thought it had high ciguatera or whatever, something.
Ciguatera.
Yeah, one of those.
And, you know, it depends. The ones that are actually in the open water don't have it. It's the ones that live right on the reef. And we don't have as many of those here in the Keys as other places. You know?
No.
Here's the thing. You know, our government, love them or hate them, the FWC in particular, they look at this stuff. You know, I mean, right now in Florida, there is a 700 million pound limit on lobsters for the entire state of Florida. We don't know that because it's a big number and it's something they look at. Mm-hmm. We're not halfway through lobster season and we're already at 650 million.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to be doing something with lobsters that we're not going to like. They did something with all sorts of fish that they don't like. When they see a trend where something is not sustainable, FWC is going to step right in there. But until FWC does that, you know, I don't know who died and made this guy the god of all things underwater, but it's okay to fish for barracuda. It's okay to harvest barracuda. They have not been limited yet, but like I said, they've had two workshops on it already here in Florida this year. I can see that happening down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it'd be nice to see them spearing lionfish instead of barracuda, but, you know. But I don't know. I've never had barracuda. I always heard that that was like a Mexican or Cuban thing that some of the folks there really did like the barracuda. But you're saying that's catching on even here in Florida and in the States. Is that what you're telling me?
That's correct. Now, recreational commercial daily bag limit now exists for only two fish for barracuda. That was actually put into place this September 4th.
Okay, so that's a fairly new thing, and I think that's actually
brand new.
Mentioned,
and it actually says these will be effective November 1st.
Yeah.
So they're not even effective yet, but they'll be two fish per person, six fish per vessel. I don't see, we don't have any size limits, and they haven't said you can't shoot them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or on scooters. We don't know. But
there's nothing. Scooters are not a thing. In fact, there's people say that it's against the law for people to hunt on rebreather, and I haven't seen that in the law yet.
Really? All right. Well, hold on. We'll talk more about this next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Have you been putting off your next dive because you can't locate your PADI certification card? Chances are it's been a while since your last dive and you need to refresh your scuba skills. When you take the all-new PADI Reactivate course, you can do both. Designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water, PADI Reactivate will refresh the fundamental scuba skills you need to jump back in. Contact a PADI Dive Center, resort, or instructor and sign up for PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Going face to face, or face to snout, I suppose, with a giant shark. The woman who shot this video tells us the folks who helped her into that cage hope to change shark's reputation as a vicious man-eater.
There's some sharks in that water, that water, that water. You can't swim in that water, that water, that water. You won't win in that water. That water, that water, there's some sharks in that water, that water, that water, you won't win in that water.
Oh, you'll be fine. Even if you're on the dive boat and there's some spearfishers on board and you're not spearfishing, I've never had a problem at all separating those folks from the other divers. There's people out, you'll hear the little comments like, hey, we got spearfishers on the boat. I don't like that. I don't want them killing anything. You get that problem. And that's a personal preference. But if they're spearfishing legally, they're following the rules and that kind of thing, I don't know that you got any beef with them, other than if you just want to tell the dive operator you don't want to dive on a boat that has spearfishers on board with you. Pete from Scuba Board and also Jerry the Diver Guy are with me. And I know you've done that a billion times yourself, Pete. And Jerry, I assume you've been in that scenario as well. You've never had an issue with that, have you?
No. I've never had one.
Yeah, I mean, if they're on the boat, they're doing their thing. Like I said, most dive charters, if you're on a charter operation, they'll separate those groups to a certain degree, too. So, you know, someone's not spearing right by the group of divers that are just taking pictures and stuff, which may not want to see that. Or, you know, the other element of when you spear a fish, it could create some issues for other critters, whether sharks, eels, or whatever, might be a little bit more interested in what's going on. And you don't necessarily...
Even Jewfish.
Or even the Jewfish, correct. Or the Goliath grouper. Come on.
Say it right. Jewfish.
Okay. Yeah. Politically correct. Out the window once again.
But, no. Wait a minute. It's not politically correct to call him Goliath grouper.
What? How so? What do you mean?
Okay. Think about it. Who was the Jew's worst enemy in the Old Testament?
You're going to test me on this?
I am.
This isn't Sunday school.
It starts with a
school.
G and ends in Goliath.
Starts with a G and a, that guy.
Goliath
right.
was the Jews' worst enemy in the Old Testament. And you're going to tell me it's politically correct to take the name away from the Jews and give it to their worst enemy for the biggest, baddest fish out there?
Well,
that's politically incorrect, my friend.
So they should have been called David groupers.
They should have been called Big Ass Grouper.
Oh, Big Ass Groupers. Yes, okay.
Not Goliath. That was just that's so ironic. It's off the ironic scale.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, I thought
I call him Jewfish.
I thought
that's
it.
I refuse to call him by that horrible, horrible, politically incorrect name.
Okay,
Goliath.
I like big ass fish. I may be a new thing. I just stick to from here on out. Actually, I kind of
big ass grouper.
Look over there.
Yeah,
look. It's a big ass fish.
Yep, that's a big ass fish. That's a technical term. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I really agree with you here. You know, it's a big ocean. There's lots of dive boats. We have more dive ops here in the Keys than we have gas stations.
Hmm.
I mean, we've got like 60 of them up and down.
Right.
In the upper Keys, Key Largo, guess what? You can't go spearfishing even if you wanted to. It's against the law. So if you don't want to go on a boat with a spearfisherman, stay in the Upper Keys.
Oh, okay, yeah, we dive penny camp park. You mean?
Yeah, penny camp. You can't bring it except for there a lot of areas you can take the little spear guns and kill the lionfish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, and actually, I think lionfish are like a gateway drug to bigger spearfishers.
You think so? You know? I don't know about that.
I've known at least two people who got hooked on killing the little guys, and they want to kill the big guys.
Yeah,
now.
But use those little lionfish pole spears that aren't quite the same as going hardcore, you know, spearfishing to me.
That's why I say it's a gateway drug.
Well,
it just gets them killing. It gets that bloodlust going.
Okay, I don't know if I necessarily buy that. But I will tell you, yeah, there's definitely a fever that's very similar to lobster hunting. That I found, you know, the same adrenaline glands probably started flowing there when I was catching lobster and then when I started shooting some of those lionfish. But I don't have any desire to do much beyond that. I really don't. It's too much work to me. I can go pick it up at the grocery store or whatever at the restaurant, let them fix it.
But you have mutual respect for those guys that does it, right?
I do. I have no problem with it as long as you're doing it legally and using common sense. And, you know, obviously years ago I was mad at a very small spear fishing group in South Florida that was raising hell about shark divers and dive operators that were doing shark dives. And because I was like, look, you're spearing fish and the sharks, you're attracting sharks to you. And then you're going to whine about these other guys that are attracting sharks to take pictures of them? No. I'm not going to, you know, you don't have any basis of fact in what you're trying to accuse them of when you're doing just as bad. And
that's not the spearing that did it. That's just their own stupiditude.
Well, exactly. Yeah, correct. And, you know, I mean, once again, if you're following the rules, and I didn't, once again, I don't have a problem with them spearing fish and doing it legally, abiding by the rules, you know, and that kind of thing. But don't blame other people and for, you know, things that don't do anything bad either.
But see, that's what's wrong with the world today. Everybody has lost respect for everybody.
Well, maybe that's what it is.
Says you.
Like, oh! See, you know, we could solve the world's problems if everybody would just go diving. Because, first of all...
Oh, amen to that, brother. Exactly. Preach on.
Yeah, because, yeah, first of all, when they went underwater, they wouldn't be able to talk to each other. It only hand signals. And, you know, and maybe...
And spear guns.
Hand signals. Yeah, okay, maybe there's a few holes in this theory of mine. But, you know...
Read between the lines.
If we were all together and we went underwater, we'd have so much fun. We'd... You know, all our differences would subside. How's that for bringing the world together?
Talk about polluting the water.
It's like better down where it's wetter. I hear a song coming.
I've heard some fine philosopher shares that every week I hear. I don't know who.
And you too.
Sounds like a genius to me. I'm just saying. And until next week, remember, it's always better. Where?
Down
where it's wetter.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I thought.
Bubble, bubble, bubble.
I'm telling you, genius, genius. Same time.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.